Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and my goodness, before we know it, it's going to be a brand new year. What is it that you would really like to see evolve in this year? If you're working
you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have
dreams, well, we want to be able to give you some tips so that you can start your year perhaps with a different perspective than you would expect. My guest today in Ottawa, Canada, is Serena Williams. We're going to be talking about her wonderful book, The Passion and the Paycheck. Serena, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Serena, I understand it's a full-scale blizzard where you are right now.
Yes, it is. But it's those big, fat snowflakes, the kind that the kids will have fun playing, making snowmen with tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
but in the meantime, you're nice and cozy, and here we are through the miracle of technology, being able to talk as if we're right in the living room with each other.
Absolutely.
Now, Serena, you have a PhD in adult education in psychology from the University of Toronto.
Yes.
You have, for more than 20 years, been advising and coaching and training people on all different levels of life or within all different levels of life. From all kinds of organizations. Why was this such a passion for you? Why is it that helping people is so important?
Well,
why this particular venue?
Well, it's interesting that you should ask. I started life as a school teacher many years ago, but when I started having my own children, that's when I went back to school for to learn adult education and psychology. And my first career after that was as a psychologist working with people who had cancer. And I was curious about the connection between stress and illness. And I asked people, what was going on in your life before you got ill? And I started getting people from the corporate world. And then I met David. There he was, my last client, because there he was, 6 feet tall, 46 years old, stomach swollen with cancer, four young kids, and he described a corporate stress that he'd been through and that he felt, his inability to deal with it and being terribly stressed contributed to his getting ill. And I decided, you know what, enough of this. I decided I was going to work with people before they got sick, get inside organizations, find out what happens in on the job that causes people to lose faith, lose hope, become overwhelmed, overworked, overstressed, and get sick and write a book about it. And that's what I wanted to do. I want people to know that there is something they can do, that corporations aren't perfect. Whatever job you have, there's going to be stress. Whatever your situation in life, there will be challenges. It's how we deal with them that makes the difference.
Your book, The Passion and the Paycheck, starts off with some very simple points. And you talk about a woman by the name of Marie. And they ask her what was the matter with her.
Yeah.
And she just wasn't herself. She didn't have the enthusiasm. And it sort of caught her by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't expect that. Tell us a little bit about Marie, because she's the one you start off with in your book.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to tell you that. I have to tell you a secret. I'm Marie.
Uh-huh. There we go. Now that's cool.
Well, I didn't want to write a book that went I. And so, I put myself in there in one or two places gave myself a pseudonym. But, many people like Marie take a job believing they're going to make a difference, and not, and just because they believe that there's a good match between their skill set, they may not have a lofty purpose of wanting to make a difference, but they certainly want to go home at the end of the day feeling that they contributed something. But you know, with the way it was with me was I took this corporate job because I thought, wow, I could make a difference, and within 6 months I was on the verge of becoming one of my own patients. Thank God I didn't get cancer, but my spirit was gone, and thank God for this good colleague, Jerry, who came up to me and said, you know, Serena, what's happened to you? Your spirit's gone. And I said, you know, he was right. It had, but I was trying to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it was a wonderful wake-up call, because that's when I remembered why I took the corporate job in the first place, which was to find out what happens to people and write about it. So I decided to start saying, well, you know what? You got to watch what you wish for, girl.
All right. So here you are in this situation. And
mm-hmm.
you start off with your story. I love knowing that secret, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You start off with your story in the beginning. And you said in this process, you discovered three magic keys.
Uh-huh.
What are those magic keys?
Well, the first one, and I tell listeners now that they have some quiet time over the holidays, is to take a piece of paper and make three lists. And each one of these is a key. And the first key is, what do you love? Now, what do you mean, meaning what do you love doing, or what do you love, what do you enjoy spending your time doing? Maybe you like drawing. Maybe you like being athletic. Maybe you like being with people. Maybe you like music. Maybe you like, I like writing. What do you love? And the second key is, what are you good at? You may love singing, but people may have told you that you don't have the best voice in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be the next Celine Dion, may love singing, but it may not be something you could do for a career. So what do you love that you're also pretty talented at? And the third key is, what does the world need? Now, I don't mean the big picture. Like, you know, I'm not saying that we all need to be Mother Teresa or Viktor Frankl or Martin Luther King. I'm saying, what does the world need in your little corner of the world? What needs to be in your day for you to go home at the end of the day saying, yeah, that was a good day. I made a difference today. What's your gift? What's your calling? In other words, who are you and what are you here for?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about Joe, who attended
yes.
one of your seminars.
Oh, yes. He was terrific.
Yes, and people loved when he was talking about himself, and he said his passion was mechanics.
Yeah, he's a mechanic.
And a lot of times people get afraid of
yep.
what they love, because we've got so many of this, what I call the pseudo-intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
It says, well, if you're not a computer technician, you have no value in society. If you're not this, you don't have any value in society. It's almost like an elitism
mm-hmm.
that I think is totally out of place
mm-hmm.
because we need people at all levels. We need the gardeners. We need the plumbers. We
mm-hmm.
need the housekeepers. We
mm-hmm.
need all kinds of people. They're all important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was concerned that he wanted to make money from doing this, and he didn't see how he could do it. What did you say to Joe?
Well, I asked I asked the whole audience, because part of what I do when I do speaking is I'll ask people, even in an audience of a few hundred people, which this was, to spend a minute and give it some thought. And I asked people to raise hand and come up with a one-sentence answer from their list, their three lists. What do you love, what are you good at, and what does the world need? And Joe's one sentence that he came up with was, I love fixing things. I'm really good with people. And the difference I want to make is that I want to get more money for the mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And people all laughed, you know, when he said that. But what a year later, what was Joe doing? He was president of his union, and he was involved on committees, bargaining committees with the government to get more money, to get the salary wage for the mechanics raised. So he was doing exactly what he said. And you know what? His colleagues, they don't need a Mother Teresa or a Gandhi. They need Joe.
Mm-hmm.
They need what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
In his corner of the world, whatever your corner of the world is, you listeners out there, whoever you are, you already are making a difference. You did from the day you were born, and from the day you walk into a room, and whether you have a smile on your face or not, makes a difference to all the people around you. How you dress makes a difference. How you feel about yourself makes a difference. We're already making a difference. You can't not.
Yes, and I think if when we start, and that's one of the things about your book, The Passion and the Paycheck, that you bring out so well, and that is if you are really in tune with yourself,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to be able to attract those dollars that you want so earnestly.
Exactly, and the place to start is with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, you know, people say, oh, you know, I'm not making enough money, or I don't like my boss, or I don't like my colleagues, or a boss might say, I don't like these particular employees. Wherever you are on the organizational chart, is the first place to start is with yourself, is to sit down over the holidays, take some time and say, okay, stop, look, and listen, like at a railway crossing. What's important to me? What's going wrong in my life? What do I want to be different? I mean, it's New Year's resolution time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make resolutions until you know where you're at. It's like if you want to take a vacation to wherever to go down south in the winter, you got to plan it.
Mm-hmm.
You're here. A is where you are now. B is where you want to go to. You got to make a plan to get there. But you got to have a vision of where B is. Where do you want to be?
You used the word in your book. Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, please.
You said don't let your presuppositions stop you.
Yes.
Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, we're our own. We often can be our own worst enemy. You know, I think that people disempower themselves. We have to get ourselves out of our own way. We but ourselves. I can't do it because, you know, I don't have enough education, or I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm a woman, or I'm, you know, women getting all the breaks these days, or I'm this color, or I'm not this color, or whatever. We find all kinds of reasons, and yeah, they may be very valid reasons. And what are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
You may not need to get a university degree to do a particular job you want. You might be able to do it in a weekend course or read a few books. You don't need to quit your job on Tuesday to start that business or to move towards that new career. You can start doing it slowly in the evenings. And once you start with me, I didn't quit my job the minute I start writing my book. It was 4 years later
mm-hmm.
before I finally left the corporate world to strike out on my own, but it was one step at a time. As I was building the other business, I was letting the first one go. And as you're building your dream, it fuels the rest of you.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
It really, really does. I really enjoyed your story about Jared and how Jared was unhappy with where he was.
Uh-huh.
And he decided that he needed to talk to his boss. He was planning on leaving.
Oh, yes.
You know, he was one of these people that said, well, I'm not just going to walk in and give you 2 days' notice. I'm going to let you know I'm going to be leaving. So if you need somebody else, I mean, he's a very thoughtful guy, really,
mm-hmm.
when you think about it. In today's world, so frequently that is not done because people are afraid they're going to get something other than what they anticipated when they get too much notice. However, his situation was different. Tell us what his boss did.
Oh, yes. Jared was a valued employee in a high-tech company, a techie, actually, and a valued employee, but he was managing a team, and he was doing more management than he was doing what he loved. That can sometimes happen, you know. You get that promotion and you find out I'm not doing what I love anymore. I don't love managing people. I love doing the working with my hands or whatever it was. And he got an offer from a startup where he was going to get to be creative, and he was really excited about it. But to be fair, he went to his boss and he gave notice and he said, you know, I've got this, I'm leaving. And the boss said, well, what's happening? He says, well, you know, I really miss being creative. I want to work with technology, and I want to work on creating new stuff. The boss says, wait a minute, don't go. And the boss worked with Jared to create a situation where Jared could do exactly what he wanted right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I tell people, you don't necessarily have to leave where you are. I mean, I wrote this book not for people to leave their companies and go off and start that business on their own. I wrote that book for people to just stop, look, and listen. This book is designed for managers and employees to give to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And to help you maybe find what you want where you are. Companies don't want to lose good people. It's very expensive to lose good people.
The cost, when you go through the training for someone, is there a good person? I mean, that is expensive. That's your cost curve. That just, my goodness, if you have someone who's good and then suddenly they're gone.
This book is designed to help companies keep their good people and help people be even better than they are, to find something different where they are or to move if they need to, but to help them really look at what's underneath the unhappiness, because it's so easy to point a finger and say, oh, if my boss weren't such a whatever, mm-hmm. I'd be happy. Or if I didn't have that annoying colleague, I'd be happy. You know, and we used to have that expression, if my aunt had wheels, she'd be a streetcar.
Yeah. yes, I remember that one. Now, let's flip over to another side of a coin,
mm-hmm.
and that is with Sarah. Sarah is someone that you talk about who always wanted to be in film. She always had these daydreams, and God knows we all have these daydreams inside of ourselves. We always want to think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence.
Uh-huh.
So here is Sarah, and oh, she's just thinking about, I'd love to be in the movies, and she had a chance to be in it.
Yeah.
And then she finds, I don't think I really want to do this all the time.
That's right.
So another aspect is to be willing maybe to volunteer for something that you think you absolutely have a passion for.
Uh-huh.
Someone wanted to have a franchise.
Yeah.
Well, go to work for somebody that has a franchise. See what it takes
uh-huh.
to run the business.
Yeah. People often, I remember, Louise, this woman who was kicking herself. I think I mentioned it in the book, and I don't remember. I changed the names of the people so to protect their privacy. But this woman, I think I mentioned her, where she was after, was it 27 years in the, she was in the government, and she lamented that she never didn't go into the private sector
mm-hmm.
27 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Don't criticize yourself, listeners, for decisions that you made in the past. You didn't wake up one day and say, today is stupid Tuesday, I'm going to make stupid decisions today. You made the correct decision given the information you had at the time. If the scenario has changed, like for this person who always wanted to go into film and didn't, when she finally did get a chance to play an extra in the film, she realized, this is not for me. No wonder I didn't go into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mm-hmm. probably didn't go into that singing career or whatever, because it wasn't for you. But if you're kicking yourself, taste it. Try a little. See what happens. Do it on the side. Join a choir. Join a group. Take an art class. My mother retired when she was 65. She retired. She was worried she was going to get depressed because she didn't have anything to do. I said to her, Mom, you're very good at arts and crafts. You always wish that you'd study art. For goodness sakes, do some art. Learn, study art.
Mm-hmm.
So she did watch, took a watercolor course. She did very well, but it didn't turn her crank. She took a sculpting course. She fell in love with it. My mother is now a master sculptress. She is incredible. She's 80 years old, all right, and still sculpting.
And that is something. I did an interview a few months back with a woman who was 70 years old,
yeah.
who interviewed 12 women between the ages of 85 and 107. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It was incredibly wonderful what these women were doing. They were active. They weren't sitting in rocking chairs and living the old grandma image that was promoted back in the 40s. No way. These were women that were active in life with people, with whatever their passion was. And for many of them, it was the arts, just like with your mother.
You know something, for those listeners who have children or are raising children or have raised children, when the children grown, you get a whole new lease on life. It's like being 30 again. Mm-hmm. And the energy comes back, and then you don't have the same responsibilities that you had before. And I think that's why we're seeing people are just hitting their prime sometimes now in their 50s. Companies may not think so. Well, that may be their loss. Their loss may be your gain.
I want to share something that you have in here, because I laughed when I read it. And this is about criticism. You said, if one person calls you a horse's patootie, and of course that's my word, the other word is only three letters starting with an A, ignore him. If two people call you a horse's patootie, it's a coincidence. If three people call you a horse's patootie, it's time to buy a saddle. And I laughed because I thought, that is so very, very true.
Uh-huh.
And one of the hardest things for me to learn was not to take criticism personally.
Absolutely.
Man, people would say something and I just thought that's what the whole world thought.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, one person, you can talk to 10 people and there will be 10 different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
How does someone work with that? How does someone develop that liking and appreciation, self-respect, self-esteem, maybe are the words we'd want to use, and be able to detach when they're criticized? How can they do that?
You know, people have, there are various psychological tests that people can do, and some of the listeners may have done them in the workplace, that show that some people are more sensitive to that than others. We kind of are wired differently that way. Some people, you could call them all kinds of names, and it's water off a duck's back, and they'll say to you, what's the matter with you? You're too sensitive. Whereas the other person might be very sensitive and say, what's the matter with you? You're insensitive. And each thinks the other's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to say to the listeners is that you're both right. People are wired differently. It's like having the volume turned up higher. Some people have their emotional sensitivity tuned to a finer, higher point than others. And it's not a matter of right or wrong. But those of us, and I'm one of them too, who have that sensitivity, we're very good at sensing other people's feelings and dealing with people and dealing with emotional issues. But the flip side of that coin is that we can be easily hurt and don't take criticism easily. And it's a matter of learning to develop a thick skin, learning that everybody, that their opinion is their opinion. They're seeing the world through their eyes. It's not ultimate reality. That just because Joe Blow may say to me, something critical, it doesn't mean it's reality, but it means it's in his eyes. Why is his eyes any better than my eyes? But it is his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's entitled. It doesn't make it the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of learning to develop a thicker skin, but by the same token, to be able to look for the grain of truth. If 10 people have 10 different opinions, that's fine. But if 8 out of the 10 people are saying the same thing, it's time to look in the mirror.
Yes, it is. And staying balanced and creating eagles, and I'm just taking random pieces from your book,
mm-hmm.
You basically have 35 different points, which I think are just wonderfully, wonderfully arranged, and you've made it so very, very condensed. It's easy to read. It's easy to understand. But you say people who are afraid of others, and you gave an example of managers afraid of their employees, can
mm-hmm.
either consciously or unconsciously try to hold them back.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was absolutely right on the money. I have seen that happen, and there is that insecurity. Oh, my God, this person's going to take my job. I can remember once when I had a job, and I got ill. I had to go through major surgery. I was in my 20s. And there was someone that took my place at the company I was working with, and I can remember all of these feelings of fear. Oh, my goodness, they're raving about her. They're not going to want me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been gone for a month, and I had an excellent work record, but I can relate to those feelings of insecurity. I mean, I can see myself when I was going through that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just an employee. This was another employee.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about it from the manager positioning, afraid their employees are going to outdo them. How can one get past that?
You know, sometimes, first of all, as a manager, you got to know that when we, I don't mention it in the book, if we manage like we're a puppeteer with marionettes holding people's strings, we keep them low. We keep them below us, rather than raising them up to be as big as they can be. Mm-hmm. I think there's a story in the book too about someone who was afraid of an employee under her. And I think what you need to do, if there's an employee that's concerning you, that you think they're taking your job, you, as a manager, you need to have a conversation with that employee and find out what their career plans are. Because very often, your fears can be ungrounded.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want a job similar to yours and you're not willing to leave, you can help them develop a career plan.
Yes,
as a manager, part of your job.
Mm-hmm.
Part of your job is helping people manage their careers as a manager. If they want a job and you're not leaving and similar to yours, then what other companies have such positions?
Mm-hmm. And thereby, you develop an alliance that is part of a network that can be very useful for you.
Yeah, sometimes our fears are in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
We look for evidence to make them true, and they're not.
Don't you think it's something that is often enforced within various environments, whether it's the home or, you know, you can have someone, maybe a parent, a teacher, will say it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. If you don't protect yourself, you're going to be just smashed by the next guy. Nobody gives a hoot. A lot of this is indoctrination that's pumped into us. So one of the components that I think makes your book so valuable is that you bring the attention of, let's bring it out on the open.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make notes. Let's write things down. And above all, have integrity with yourself. Don't be afraid to acknowledge who you are, what your strengths are.
Yeah.
If you've got weaknesses, what is it that really is going to be significant to you? Because you really believe, I think, quite strongly, Serena, comes across in your book, The Passion and the Paycheck, you really believe that the money follows.
Mm-hmm. And my book isn't so much, and my philosophy isn't, yes, I want people to be as big as they can be and to make a difference. And the philosophy of the book isn't about be as big as you can be no matter what. It's really about creating win-win.
Mm-hmm.
It's really Psych 101 for the pocketbook, in layman's terms, for your pocket or purse or handbag, so that we can, start peace within yourself, and then peace in your family, and then peace in the workplace, and then it just expands. We don't have to step on others to be big. There's room for all of us. We need to all be big.
Mm-hmm. I think when we can acknowledge our own truth, it seems to have a momentum all of its own.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there will be that recognition. And I've noticed so many times it's the people that are not waving the banners that create the most momentum that brings about changes that are necessary. And they do it one little step at a time. They pass the baton to someone else, and then it just, you know, it just keeps going. It's sort of like a marathon where someone says, you were going to have a marathon to do X, Y, Z, and you have maybe five people show up, and then somebody else says, oh, wait a minute, we got another 20 coming in on the bus. And then somebody else says, we just talked to somebody else, there's another 30 over here. And then they come together, but each is still individual.
Yes. The key is to keep moving forward. If you imagine that your life is like your work life or your life is like it's on a train that's moving forward, and you're moving forward along the track, and there's all kinds of craziness going on outside, you know, fighting and arguing and different things, and that's the things that happen at the workplace or at home that pull us off track. You can get off the train and engage and get pulled off track, or you can stay focused and keep moving forward.
Serena Williamson has been my guest today. Her book is The Passion and the Paycheck. Her website is serenawilliamson.com. I encourage you to go there for a visit, S-E-R-E-N-A, Williamson, S-O-N.com. And Serena, it has been an absolute delight having you as a guest today.
Oh, it's been a delight, too. We'll have to stay in touch, Donna.
Absolutely, Serena.
Thank you so much for asking me to join you on the show.
It has been my pleasure. This is Donna Siebel. Don't forget the passion and the paycheck. What a great way to start a new year. Donna Siebel here. We're taking a break. Don't you go away. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Siebel to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website. Go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna, and the phone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. And all you need to do, if you're a first-time listener, just know that when you call in, all I need from you is the first name, your first name or initial. Then let me do what I do, and I'll give you my mental impressions. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me about a question about anything that is of interest to you. It doesn't make any difference. And if I get information for you, I'll share it with you. If I don't, I'll tell you also. And understand that this is something that is information. I consider myself an information resource, and this enables me to share my talents with you. Also, if you are interested in receiving my newsletter, I wanted to let you know that will be coming out by the 1st of January, which is in just a few days. So if you would like to send me an email with your email address, send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. It's so hard to believe we've got a brand new year that is evolving for us. And having had Serena Williamson on my show today, it really prompted me to think about some other situations that have evolved over, well, over the past year for a lot of different people. And I came across this information about a woman by the name of Liz, and she's in Upton, Massachusetts. And Liz did something that I think just about any of us, if we are open to it, can do. And it's whether you're male or you're female, it doesn't make any difference. But there was a personal coach whose name was Cheryl Richardson. She had been viewed on a television program by a woman in Liz's community. And she got the idea for starting up, this lady, starting up what's called a life makeover group. And she said, I never thought I'd ever be involved in anything like this. Liz was busy. She had her own family. But these women decided that they wanted to do something to empower themselves. And I have a firm belief about women in the world that they can change phenomenal things. All they have to do is get unified and work together as a team. But as our guest has said, start with yourself first, and the other things will come in. Now, I'll tell you the rest of the story, but we've got a caller on the line right now. Welcome to the show, caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Teresa from San Diego.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear your name there.
Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. And you're where?
San Diego.
All right. And, Teresa, the first thing that I'm looking at with you is back up, get your bearings, figure out what your roadmap for action is going to be. Understand the first 2 weeks of January are going to give you the opportunity to really get some things done. You're sort of scattered right now. There's a lot going on, and for heaven's sakes, it's the holiday season. It's not a big surprise. But I do think you're going to need some downtime to be able to coordinate and organize yourself. So I want you to really be attentive to giving yourself that private time so that you can do what you need to do. And if you do that, then you're going to find that the following 6 to 8 weeks are going to move along like clockwork. So you need to just be attentive to that particular priority, and other things are going to fall into place. Do you have a question for me?
Money. I'm expecting to meet financial obligations the next couple of weeks. Do you see that happening?
Well, what I'm getting is that you were ill-prepared. You didn't put enough preparation or forethought into certain aspects. And you need to really, again, back up. I'll go along with what I said a moment ago. You need to get your bearings and put yourself into the positioning of attitude and action that you're not going to stay stuck. And I believe that you're going to be able to turn things around relatively quickly. There is a whole new demeanor relative to money that you are developing. And this is very, very important because it's going to empower you to do what you want to do for yourself. But this is a patterning that you've been through in the past, and so you want to have that attitude of preparation and getting the new mindset into place. So these next 2 weeks, I would say use your concerns or anxiousness as a motivational energy. Let it work for you, not against you. And I think you're going to be all right.
Okay. Well, I just want to wish you a Happy New Year.
Well, thanks so much. The same to you.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful, wonderful New Year's.
And you as well. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. And remember, all I need from you is your first name or initial, and I'll take it from there. I was telling you about Liz before we had our first caller and how there was this life makeover group. Now, this is what they decided they were going to do. They developed a plan. They decided they were going to meet once a month to help each other make changes. So this was to be a productive get-together. We're going to find out more. We've got another caller, so we'll continue the story after this caller. Hello, welcome to the show. First name or initial, where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello, dear, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Colorado.
Where in Colorado?
The San Luis Valley.
San Luis Valley. Oh, is that near Boulder?
It's about 5 hours south in the desert.
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful country there. What's your first name or initial, dear?
Hello, Rose.
Okay, now, Rose, I'm hearing a lot of talking in the background.
That's your show.
Oh, that's my show. Okay, can you turn it down, turn the volume down?
Yes, hold on.
We're waiting for Rose to turn the volume down on her computer.
Okay, we're just a lag a little.
There we go, hon, because that just gives too much feedback into the system.
Okay.
All right, so you can hear me loudly and clearly. Rose, education is a word that comes up first and foremost in my mind when I'm looking at you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wanting to say you are getting ready to expand, break out of a cocoon that you've had yourself in for a while. And the education is going to empower you to do what you need to do for yourself. This is something where you're going to be meeting some very interesting people that will give you perspectives about potential opportunities. It will enable you to break shackles with certain situations that you have felt you are bound to, that you really have this necessity of staying within a certain confine, and that's not a requirement at all.
Okay.
You are going to find that the year 2008 and 2009 is definitely going to be a shake-up year. It's going to be a fast-paced year. You are also going to realize that paying attention to detail is going to be extremely important. Relationships are going to feel precarious at times, but you're making a breakout from an old cocoon that you've kept yourself in. So this takes time. It takes attentiveness. It takes a willingness to question. And it also takes the awareness that you don't need to be afraid. You're going to be able to go through this. You've spent about 2 years in self-preparation for this change. And I want to say congratulations. It's a big step for you. But your life is going to be moving forward at a very good rate of speed. You are not going backwards by any stretch of the imagination. What question would you have for me today?
Well, about what you just said, did you just say that I had already spent 2 years preparing?
Yes, you have gone through an evolutionary process to get you where you are today. And it's not been fun. It's been really tough because you've been breaking away from certain modalities of belief. And that's not an easy thing for you to do because in many ways you're very much a traditionalist. And there's nothing wrong with being that way. But you're choosing what traditions you want to hold on to and the rest that you want to throw away.
Yeah, exactly. Education, I know that doesn't mean formal.
Now, Rose, you're going to need to speak up, dear. Your voice is soft, so put the telephone mic up in front of your mouth.
Okay, I know when you say education that it's not formal. It's probably some kind of inner education.
Oh, it's on all levels, dear.
Yeah, okay.
It's on all levels. It's outside education. It could be attending seminars, reading books, going and getting a degree. It could be any and all of the above and more.
Okay. Okay.
You cannot have a transformation like this that does not affect all parts of you.
Right. I understand. Okay. Relationships are going to be precarious. They always have been. but will there be any good ones?
Oh, of course. Of course. I think if you feel that your relationships in the past, and I am assuming you're talking about male relationships, but I'm seeing it even with women. There is this sense of self-confidence that you have evolved into that you're not going to have to worry about certain attitudes on the part of people. You're going to be contented with yourself, and you're going to enjoy who you are, and consequently, you're going to be able to attract to yourself and be attracted to those environments that will be more harmonious with who you are.
Okay, so I've pretty much done that then? It has worked?
No, you're still in the process of doing it. You're coming into your own.
Okay.
And the journey of life is one that's always changing, dear. Always. Rose, I want to thank you for calling. We're getting ready to go to break.
Thank you.
You are welcome, and a Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thanks.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be going on a break. We're going to be right back. Don't you go away now.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 and 530-876-3222. By the way, I want to tell you, we've got a great gal that is going to be on the air with us tomorrow, Teresa Tapp, Fit and Fabulous in 15 Minutes. And let me tell you, this woman is a doll. Not only does she have a gorgeous figure, but she's got this program that, I'm telling you, I've tried it a few times, and no wonder you get fit and fabulous in 15 minutes. It gives you a workout. She's really developed this wonderful, wonderful routine that is working every muscle in the body. So you're not going to want to miss this, especially if one of your goals is to be fit in 2008. And you can do it, again, in 15 minutes. Let's go to our next caller. And we want to welcome you, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Donna, are you talking to me?
I sure am, dear. Can you speak up a little louder?
Yes, I'm calling you from Bonita Springs, Florida. My name is Deborah, and my initial is K.
Well, I bet you it's just gloriously beautiful in Bonita Springs, Florida.
Yes, it is. I wish you were here.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would say I might want to do that, but we have some of the coolest weather here in the Pacific Northwest, and right now I'm watching rain coming down, which we're known for in the Pacific Northwest, with snow sprinkled in between some of the raindrops. So it's really pretty special, and as much as I love the sunshine, I really do love this part of the country during the winter. I think it's just very special.
Oh, I understand.
So I haven't figured out how I can astral project and be in two places at the same time and wide awake at the same, in the process. Well, let's get down to business with you, Deborah. Welcome to the show. And I would
say to you,
get busy with that writing. You are going to be organizing some people into a project that is going to have far-reaching applications. And I have to laugh at you because it seems like so frequently you'll have conversations with someone saying, oh, if I could have anyone else, anything I wanted, I'd go to Italy for 6 months and I would just shop till I dropped. And I just have to laugh at you because you have a very good sense of humor. But you really like being active. You really like being involved with other people, and you enjoy doing things differently than people have done before. You've got a wonderful, wonderful imagination. Your background and experience enables you to organize fairly effectively. Your biggest concern is you don't want to get yourself to a point where you were previously, where you weren't having fun with what you were doing.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to really be vigilant about that. And I think the key to that is knowing how to delegate well. People like to work around you. They like to be involved with you. And so when you can evaluate someone, know where they would fit best, which really is one of your skills, then you can delegate responsibilities and have fun promoting other people and building them up. You really, really do get a deep sense of pleasure and satisfaction when you're teaching, when you're exploring, when you're learning, and when you're able to lift other people up. It just makes a world of difference for you.
Oh, thank you.
Now, you do have a sweet tooth, hon. You're going to have to watch that one.
I have a what now?
A sweet tooth. Every once in a while, there is an urge.
I can't even hardly hear you.
Well, I don't know what the situation is. Maybe my engineer can turn up the volume a little bit. But what I would say is you have a sweet tooth, and it's just for certain things. It's not for everything that's sweet. It's just certain particular things.
Oh, sweet tooth. Oh, yeah.
So when that hits, pay attention to what you've been eating. It merely means that you've either been dieting, so you have been not getting the nutrition you need, and your body's trying to compensate, because you really don't have much of a sweet tooth when you eat your proteins and you have good carbs.
Yep.
What's your question for me?
Exercise.
What did you want to? What question did you want to ask me?
Oh. Well, I am supposed to be, and I am. I've been an aspiring writer. I've journaled for decades, and but one of the things that specifically is that I have a lot of activity in the spirit realm around me all the time, and I read your bio actually earlier today, and it said in your bio that you welcome it. You've developed the ability to just sort of flow in it in a lot of different levels and not have any fear or resistance, you know. And I am not there, but I tell you, it has really, there have been times it's a lot better now, but there have been, and it's a daily, this is a daily thing, you know. And my mom and dad just passed within a year of each other. And boy, you know, they come around, and it's just a constant. It really is very. It would be very unusual for me not to have, you know, seeing. I mean, I see, I hear. It's auditory. It's in my intuition. I pick up things. You know, I can be alone, and it's very crowded.
Well, let me suggest, Deborah, because we're almost out of time, hon, and feel free to call in and discuss with me this very thing again, because I'm happy to share with you what I know. I can't say that I haven't had some experiences in my life that have not unnerved me. There have been a few. However, I think when you have someone you can talk to about this, then there's going to be more of a comfort zone, because everybody has a different experience. Your experience is different from mine, which is a good thing. And when you can communicate and you can share about it, it makes all the difference in the world. So I am out of time. I'm not going to be able to discuss it further. But know you're welcome to call back. And if you can, call back earlier in the hour and from the bottom of the hour up, you know, to this time. And then we'll be able to chat about this a little bit. But this is too close, and I'm out of time, dear.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Donna.
You are welcome, Deborah. Have a wonderful evening. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, we are out of time. I have to say goodbye. Remember always you're the master of your fate and, you know, the captain of your soul. And by golly, we can get it all fit and proper tomorrow because we're going to be talking with Teresa Tapp. So be sure you join me. Tell your friends. And we'll be here bright and sassy, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.